It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast, episode number 339. I am your host, Justin Worsham, a.k.a. Justin Comedy. And with me, as always, is the one, the early adopter. Oh, I said the one.
It's hard.
The only. The early adopter. The KevinMiller.com, a.k.a. December 21. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Jump and press the circle button.
We got a lot to get through today.
You got a lot going in there.
Yeah. We got emails, so let's get right into the emails that we had left over from last week.
I remember last week. What have you done last week?
Last week, I was gone in Denver.
How did the shows go?
They went well.
Did you win a prize?
I recorded a new CD.
Great.
So I'm excited about that.
Where is that available?
For any listeners, I don't know if we... it's hard because we have a lot of younger listeners that listen to the show now. In fact, I think it was Brooke. It was either Brooke or HG Horse Girl. Sometimes I get the listeners mixed up. Especially if they're friends, like they kind of know each other or have become friends on the Facebook page. So if I see their names in comment threads at the same time.
You're kinder than I am because in my mind, there's really like four fans. There's Sam, Mia... Jack, maybe double op, and then everyone else.
No, I remember most everybody.
Knows their names. We'll be going to bed, and she'll mention like, "Hey, what did you think of Caleb's comment today?" Or "What did you think of Bradley?" And I'm like, "How do you know? She's good at name recognition.
I'm not. That's why it's kind of I feel bad.
But she'll give the last name too. She'll say their whole name like they're just somebody like somebody we know. And sometimes it'll take me a moment. Like, who are you talking about?
Your wife's good at that.
She's very good at it.
But what I was going to say is they asked me if I was going to come to Vegas. They put it on, and I said, and I think I was trying to be funny, and I think I came across as kind of a jerk. And they were like, "I'm sorry," you know, kind of thing. And I was like, "No."
What you need to understand is that these people worship us.
Yeah,
you need to,
it should be.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm going to be headlining at Flappers Comedy Club in Claremont on October 28th and 29th, Halloween weekend. So
there's
those of you that are in the kind of quasi Inland Empire. And it's only a 4.5 hour drive from Vegas is what I was also bringing up.
Well, let's go.
But that's a good chance to see me do 45 plus minutes at a comedy club. So I'm excited about that. But it's going to be all kid material. So heads up. Not talking about
video
games.
Maybe I'll come out. That'll be fun.
Not talking about video games. but anyway, let's get to Ben's emails because we got about 6 or 7 more emails. And then I really want to get into what we have to talk about.
Lots to talk about.
Says, "Hey guys, I have 5 questions for you." For those of you who don't remember, last week he said, "Will you be getting a Vita?" I said, "No."
Yeah.
Kevin said,
"Maybe."
Ooh.
I really want one. I'm torn between that and something else we'll talk about.
Oh, boy. In episode 336, Kevin said that he would like the PS4, like it if the PS4 had a terabyte hard drive and all games are downloaded. Do you honestly like the idea of getting rid of physical discs? Yes, I do.
Yes, absolutely. I get the nervousness behind it. I'm surprised at myself to think this because I thought it'd be better to be like, "I've got the copy. It's in my hands." But the convenience of being able to go, "I want a game, I have it right now," and not having a stupid disc on my shelf.
Kevin's a collector, so let's not forget that part of it.
I don't know how old you are, Ben, but I honestly have like PlayStation 1 games, and I have some old Nintendo games hanging out. And it's like, what the F are you supposed to do with these when they're ancient? It's ridiculous. So now, what are you going to do? Throw away the boxes, keep the CDs, throw the whole thing away? After a while, it's just you have all these games, they're taking up shelf space, and you don't need them.
No.
Plus, they take forever to change between games. If I want to change games, I have to get up, move them around, find the box, make sure the disc doesn't get scratched. Funny thing about digital downloads, the disc can never get scratched.
Wait, what?
It can never get scratched.
I'm sorry?
It's never scratched. And they follow you from system to system. So if my PlayStation breaks... Bam!
My point was our good friend Jeremy Schutz. He doesn't have his PS3. It broke, or I think he had to sell it or something. So when the PSN network went down, they gave away the games. He said, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" I logged on. So his profile is on now. When he logs on and gets his own PS3 and logs on his profile, those free games are available to him because they're downloaded.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he says, "I think the PS Go's main problem was no UMDs."
No, I think that's...
With no disc, all current content would be unplayable, even though my PS3 can't play PS2 games. But I think as long as GameStop sells slash buys used games, people will still want actual discs.
See, that's the problem, is that you're still thinking in the present model. The publishers do not want GameStop to be the one making the monies. That's the same thing like when game industry started. We should do it. I can't believe we haven't done this episode yet. We do have a lot to talk about. Yeah. About
you want to delete the other episode?
Yeah, start over. Modern slavery and in the gaming industry. We haven't talked about this at all. But they, I mean, there's a huge number.
I've in that,
maybe we've talked about
a
it
a little bit in that that documentary Skins that we talked about a long time ago.
Do they bring it up?
They bring up that there are these Chinese work farms for WoW that are making money for people,
and that's exactly it. Is that they sit there and they work in slave conditions, you're working for 16 hours a day. Playing WoW, and that's in deep quotes. They're not playing WoW.
What you call grinding?
Just grinding. Just finding an area in which you can harvest a high yield amount of gold, and then selling that for real dollars. Cheap. I mean, you can buy gold
illegally.
Exactly. It's all illegal. And I remember when Guild Wars did this. There was this huge push, and they made this huge thing and said, "You can't do this, guys. This is not legal." Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, Kevin has to clean cobwebs.
There were all this backlash on the forums saying you were crushing a lot of players' ability to make money on your game. You're like, you're missing the point. That's not what the game is for. And furthermore, they're slaves. Yeah. Like, they're people working in. So that's actually two issues at once. But the Sony doesn't make a dime off of GameStop. They don't win anything. Now, the sociability and having someone come in to look at one game and go, oh, I want this game over here. I don't think we're losing that in the next 15 years. I don't think that's going anywhere. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe you'll have downloadable cards or something where you can just buy the card and then it'll access that game specifically so that you can keep yourself in the retail market. But it there's so many benefits. Oh, and the reason why the PS Go didn't work is because, yes, it didn't have a UMD, and it was on a platform that was built.
What does UMD stand for?
That was their original Universal Media Disc.
That's right. Okay,
that was their disc. And, yeah, that was the issue, that it was a...
That's where they started to put movies on that.
It was a neutered console. So, like, all your entire library was useless on this thing. It was silly.
Yeah.
But if you build a platform with the idea of the entire library is digital, it will succeed.
And then he also says, besides, there's nothing more exciting than going to a midnight release at a store with friends and tearing open a box, plus looking at the cool disc art.
I disagree. Playing the game at midnight is a lot cooler. 100% cooler. To be able to wait there till the moment it turns midnight and just go, bink! Or it's already downloaded like they do for WoW. It's already in your system, and then exactly at midnight I can start playing.
It's playable.
I disagree. I think that's much more fun.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Ben, that you would agree with us when our new world order takes over, when our 15th Reich, I had to multiply times five because I felt like it made it safe. Probably not.
No, it made it worse somehow.
I know. I don't know why. But you know what I mean. When Kevin and I are mutual vice presidents, because we would not be presidents because we are the second funniest podcast. So we'd be second in command of video games, and this would be, and henceforth things shall be known. So
thanks for quoting some scripture there.
Is that what was that really scripture? I was gonna say that's not what I meant it to be.
That's some Coach Z scripture.
I did a lot of overstepping bounds on that email. Number three, I saw a video of Kevin. How do I word this? Begging for an Xbox for his birthday? Did people ever donate enough for you to get it?
Hell yeah.
He made more than enough to get an Xbox.
I made enough to get
that. He bought peripherals.
I bought Rock Band with that whole thing. Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Justin was with me. We should post some pictures of that.
All right.
We went to Vegas for my 30th birthday, and on the way back, we hit not one but two Best Buys. Or GameStop and a Best Buy.
No, it was two Best Buys
and a GameStop. I remember going into a GameStop and they didn't have one. They had the two.
You're right. Then it was a GameStop and a Best Buy.
Yeah, and then walking out of there, and we have a picture of me outside with it over above my head.
And then we immediately drove to my house from Vegas and played it at my house.
Yeah.
Oh, so pre-children.
It's so great.
So before kids.
Yeah, you shot the first video, and then Christian shot the second video where I was a lot more direct with my request because people didn't get
that's right.
Joke.
You said, hey, can you help me? We got to go to a park real quick. That's right.
That one was pretty funny. I think the first video was funnier. The second one was clearer. Yeah. As is most things we do.
Number four is Gears of War 2. 2 coming to PS3? If not, are there any good MMORPGs for the PS3? Aw, shnikes.
It's like a segue.
Have you heard anything about Final Fantasy 14? My friend and I would love a suggestion for a good, massively online free roam game for PS3. We'll get into that more later. Let's get through all these emails.
So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Will either of you be getting Modern Warfare 3? I will not, because I just don't like those first-person shooters.
Yeah, what Modern Warfare is actually... what is it? It's a spinoff. It was something... Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now Modern Warfare is its own... It's like Adult Swim having its own
title. I'm trying to think
block.
Of... The other one is Ghost Recon or something. There's two of them. There's the Call of Duty and the other one.
Yeah.
That now they...
No, I tried it. I found it cool. I was also intimidated.
I did like Battlefield. Those are fun. Yep. Like, Christian exposed me to those. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the first-person shooters.
It's too much. Some of them are fun, but...
Have you heard anything about Final... Oh, we're going to talk about... I'm reading old emails. I know you guys don't really like first-person shooters. Oh, should have read the whole question, Joseph. But they're trying to make it more strategic. There's this new thing that lets you see your Facebook friends and see who's playing, as well as post times to tell people where you'll be on. And there's also going to be a new episodic DLC every other month.
Hey!
I also really want to play with you guys and don't have RDR or Uncharted. Maybe you could borrow it for one gaming Saturday.
Maybe you should rent or borrow RDR because...
Oh, snap, Ben!
Because I had so much fun.
We're jumping up Ben's butt on this email. Holy crap.
Ben, we love you. You know what? You've asked good questions, which is why you've been able to get good retorts from us.
What is it?
Woken a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Where am I at? Here's a little of that. What did he say? What was the last thing he said before he poked us in the butt?
That there's going to be an episodic DLC every month, and then Facebook would...
Oh, RDR. I had so much fun. Have we talked about our gaming day since then? That was so much fun. I went home and played after that, but tried to do more. Everybody was gone. I wanted to play more, and everybody
You need to get a headset.
I'm going
to
get it.
I'm tired of talking for both of us.
Well, I was going to ask you, if I get a headset, do I have to bring my TV over to your house?
You don't have to, I guess.
It's more fun for me when you're sitting
in the room.
Can you get another TV? It's bringing the other TV over that's so much work.
Why don't you buy... Let's take a page from our advice to Ben. Why don't you buy another TV and keep it at my house?
Man, I wish I hadn't gotten rid of that TV I gave to our pizza delivery guy. It was a huge TV, though.
I could look to see. You know, if I could get $50, I could get a small monitor.
We had a whole bunch of TVs we just gave away at the church, too. Like, they were giant, but they were flat screen. They were the big, deep, like, 3-foot deep ones. Yeah. But we could have set it in this room, and you could have kept it here. It'd have broken your son's table,
though. You know what we could do is get, I'll see how cheap they are. If we get a couple, like, 27-inch LCD monitors to put in the room that we record the podcast in, then they can have the TV downstairs and all that stuff. And
that'd be good. Yeah. We need some speakers for that. I'll go halfsies on you with that.
All right, we'll see.
We'll see what's going on.
Next email is from Blaine. He says, "Hey, guys, Blaine here. I've written into the show before, but now I have a specific question. I love to write, and I would really like to make a career out of writing for video games. I currently write reviews for a gaming website, www.crossplatformgamers.com.
That's a great name.
But I would like to get into writing plot lines and doing character designs for the games themselves. I'll be going into college within the next year. I just graduated high school, and I was wondering if you have any recommendations on schools for game design. I currently live in Georgia, but I'm willing to go almost anywhere. I'd like to know what avenues I need to take in order to reach my career goal. I do have experience in writing with a growing portfolio of work. Thanks so much. Your advice is greatly appreciated." What I was going to say...
That's a seriously good question.
I was going to say, go back and listen to the episode with Nate Fox. I'm not sure what number it was. I can look at while Kevin also addresses this question. But
sorry, my ears need to pop. It's hurting. Okay, I'm back.
You want me to yell into your headphones?
That'd be great. If moving is within your reach, if you're not stuck or you're not attached to living in your hometown, come out to the West Coast. Now, the West Coast has got lots of opportunities, so pick your climate. You can live down here with us in Los Angeles. You can move to San Francisco, where it's a little more metropolitan, a little more muggy, or go up to Seattle and go whole hog with the rain. So that you can't complain about the West Coast, because we got gaming on all ends, from north to south. And it's as much as it'd be great to say that you should be able to do it wherever you are, being where you are is what gets you the work that you want. Like, you can't be a great actor. If you move to L.A. as an actor, you can't live in another city and move here. No agent is going to listen to you until you live in Los Angeles. And it's the same thing. Now, once you're here, there are a number of schools. If Jake Wagaman were on the show, he actually is a buddy of ours that works over at Disney Interactive. He would tell you, don't waste your time with school because the industry doesn't need it. And they teach you a lot of stuff that's really just to get you a piece of paper. The experience comes in doing the things that you want
to
do.
Yeah, my advice would be, and go back and listen to episode 313. That's the one with Nate Fox. But I can't remember what. I know he said that you need to not necessarily know just one thing, that they need people who know more than one thing.
He said you need to be good. You need to be good at something. Yeah, that's what Nate said.
And I think that in the entertainment industry, especially in like a production aspect, which is kind of what you're looking to do, that like what Kevin's saying, I think you get where there is a job that you can get a low level, like pouring coffee for people just to be around the industry and start learning is a much better way to go about it than paying a ton of money to go to school. Because I got in this argument with a guy that used to be my boss at Great America, where he said, well, I think college is a great thing. And I said, not in the entertainment industry. I said, because I could have your job if I wanted it, but I choose not to have your job because I'm making $10 more an hour than what you're making doing your job. And just because you come in with a college degree, if they look at me, somebody who's worked here for 8 years, knows the system and could do the job, or this guy who's coming in fresh out of college, they're going to choose me.
Yeah.
That's just, I think that's just business. Now, there are other sides of the coin. I mean, I'm coming at it from a perspective that I didn't go to college. Kevin went to college, has a degree. I don't know if you use it. I don't know how strongly you feel about your college experience and how necessary it was. Here's what I think, honestly. I think college is a place, if after you get out of high school, you're like, you know what? I'm not grown enough. And I think that the real world is going to scare the living crap out of
me. I disagree with that. I do think it's where you need to go to decide what it is you want to do for the rest of your life. Like, college for me was a refocusing. If I had walked out of college and into an industry that I, or out of high school into the industry of my choice, it would have been theater, and I would have been miserable for the rest of my life. Quit and ended up, you know, working at a restaurant to the end of my life. Going to college.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
I think so. Going to college taught me what my true interests were, which was in more radio, television, film, gave me the background I needed, gave me the internship I needed, which launched my entire career.
But see, and I feel, and this is where I think Kevin and I disagree, is that I feel that you can figure that out through doing. I think if you're not in college, like college slows it down for me. Like it turns that process into a 4-year thing.
Yeah, and
whereas if you're in it, like I think that if you went out there, you started to write for theater, you're like, this isn't what I wanted to do. You may have left, but it would have taken one night of you watching The Office and going, that's what I want to do.
Maybe. But you're also, it's funny that you have that opinion about education because you're very good about attaining degrees and credentialing yourself. You have a degree in electronics. You're working on a real estate license. Like you're not afraid of getting the classes. And you can drive.
But I had to have a third one.
Evelyn also said we're a little too NPR on this show.
The only reason I do that stuff, though, is number one, it's that it's required for the job I wanted at the time.
Yep.
And number two is because I could cheat.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just being completely honest. I'm not saying it's the way to go, but I do it online. I did both of those in a kind of away from home, and I cheated. I cheated like crazy.
I sure hope that. Is there like a bar exam? Are they listening to this?
I mean, there is for the real estate thing, but not for the certificate in electronics. Sure, I know that I'm smart enough that I could pull that off, and I knew that any job I got was going to train me how to use their stuff anyway.
Sure.
It's just their stupid filter that I had to get through, explained to me.
Same thing going
in real estate, it's very different, but.
It's the same thing of going to an audition and they want you to have a monologue, not because you're ever going to do anything from your monologue. It has to do with the fact that they want to prove. They need you to prove that you are capable of memorizing and performing in front of an audience.
Yeah.
I will say that, so all that to be said, if you move out here or move anywhere with the intentions of being a writer for a video game, you got to know that's not a job that is obvious. Mm-hmm. It's mostly freelance, and it's going to require a lot of scraping up. And do not expect to be writing for games within the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Within the next 4 years.
And you'll, but it also could be that he's in this, what he really should come at it with the mentality is that, listening to what you just said, is that out of high school, you thought you would have tried to write for theater and been sorely disappointed. Yep. Is that he may find that he has a different interest within video games. Like there's a guy that I knew that.
Arkham Asylum.
I know. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for that game. The Arkham City.
Yep.
Is that. This guy that used to live here in our building, mm-hmm. I asked him if I go, hey, I know you, I think you did some like sound stuff for video games.
Yeah,
he goes, because I know you work for a gaming company. And what do I want to say? Insomniacs?
Yeah.
So anyway, so he works for them. And I said, would you be interested in being on my video game podcast? He goes, honestly, all I do is networking consulting type stuff. Like, I help them with their networks, and that's it. He goes, I'm not actually involved in the gaming design. He goes, but I know a little bit about it, and I'd be, you know, I could tell you what I know, or maybe I could ask some of the other guys to be on the show. And I said, yeah, because I go, we have a lot of people listening to the show. Some of them are getting out of high school, and they want to go into gaming. He's like, why? Why would you want to do that? It's like, he said, I got into it because I love gaming, and I do. He said, but you, like, you have no social life. You have, like, while you're doing it, it's just crazy amounts of hours. Yeah, and then, like what Nate explained, and then you have the time after you finish that you just go into hiatus hibernation do anything, and then go right back to the grind stuff. But, yeah, not to discourage you. And then, speaking of which, we got to move along, but... Hey, Michaela, I apologize. Oh, there's HG Horse Girl from Facebook. I want to read your story, but we have so much stuff we want to cover, so I'm going to push it back to next week. I cannot apologize enough. It's not that we don't love it or love you. Am I being a jerk here?
Not at all. Okay. No, it looks great. It's really long.
Yeah.
And
not that it's too long, but
I just
don't want to rush it.
Yeah, and if we wait till next week, we can read it, and that way you can get a good performance.
Exactly.
In
Sam, this is from Spencer. He says, right, let me try to explain. Oh, wait, no.
What is going on?
Oh, that's for the he explained the rules to the game. I'll get to that another time. Anyway, here's another one from I just noticed this. His email address is secondfanniest. And it's secondfunniestfan@gmail.com.
Good job.
That's outstanding. It doesn't give a name
Sam?
In here.
It's not
it?
Sam?
Oh, no, it's not. It says, if you ever get Nolan North back on the show, could you please have him do an outgoing voicemail message? Maybe. Don't worry right now. I do have Sly's as my voicemail message, but none of my friends know why. Terrible. I know. Anyways, Nolan North goes back on the show, can do a voicemail message in his Richtofen voice. Richtofen is a funny German voice that he does in the Call of Duty games. All my friends would be so jealous. And he has a link to a bunch of the quotes that I think is pretty hilarious. And it's, you could tell that it's just Nolan, like, riffing in a booth.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wants to know, are you getting Modern Warfare 3, Assassin's Creed, or NHL 12? I am not getting Modern Warfare, but I am getting Assassin's Creed. I am not getting NHL 12.
I won't get any of those.
Okay. Pop quiz time. You must pass or you are no longer the voice of Sly.
Says you.
Number one, what is Carmelita's full name for 10 points? I'm going to say it's Carmelita Fox.
Carmelita Montoya Fox.
You are incorrect because
he
did not give us the answers.
No, it's Montoya.
No, it's up to my interpretation. As the other guy, I'm also known as the judge. Number two, where does the first level in Sly Cooper and the TR take place? 10 points.
What does the TR mean?
I don't
understand.
Know.
Where does the first level in Sly Cooper... Oh, and the Thievius Raccoonus take place. The very first level, like level zero, is Paris. It's the only level in Paris.
You are incorrect.
Where does it take place?
What is the boss level with Miss Ruby called?
Look Who's Coming to Dinner? It's something like that.
You are incorrect.
Or Voodoo... Hoodoo. It's some play on words like that.
For not including Arpeggio, which Claw gang member has one clockwork part for 15 points?
Oh, give me a break. That would be Dimitri.
You are
incorrect.
Come
on, you're hurting my brain.
Number five, what month was Sly 2 released in the U.S. for 20
September.
Points? Number six, which Claw gang member is killed by Nelia?
Arpeggio.
510 points.
Oh, no. Well... Arpeggio, does he die? Well, Nila is... Yeah, it has to be Arpeggio or Nila.
Where does Sly and the gang hide to get on Arpeggio's blimp for 15 points?
Inside a battery.
Number eight, what is the first mission in Sly 3 called for 20 points?
Something like the last chance or something? I don't know. Or first, it's the line is something like it all flashes through your eyes.
80% of the listeners are yelling at their.
I don't know. That's
homework.
A hard one. He's asking hard questions.
No, I know, but that's why I want. That's what I thought. I looked at this and I go, these seems like very specific.
Very specific.
So it might
that's
be fun
one.
For the guys to challenge themselves.
Well,
and listen,
you know, it's tough too because the name of the levels they just show up like boom that fast and then they move on.
Well, it's not. It didn't say easy pop quiz time.
The name of the episode. Some of the episode names I know.
It didn't say open book quiz time.
Okay, move on.
It said pop quiz.
I get no points.
In Sly 3, who did Rick May voice? 30 points.
I don't know. I don't remember Rick May.
He died.
I'd love to know.
He died in that blimp crash with Kevin Black.
I'm going to look that one up, actually. I don't like not knowing the answer to that.
In Sly's father gang, there was Dr. M and one other person. Who was it for 20 points?
Oh, the Walrus. Gosh, that name will come back to me. It's some, like, biker name.
Number 12. How many episodes are in Sly 3? 20 points.
How many episodes? Mm-hmm. Eight? Seven. Seven.
Number 13. How many villains are in multiple Sly games? Not including Carmelita. 25 points.
I love these questions. I have to do math. All right. Let's see. Mugshot shows up in more than one game. They technically all show up in the comic book. All the first characters show up in the comic book, but I'm pretty sure that's not
second
what you
mean.
Who else shows up in later game? Clockwork shows up in another game. Dimitri shows up in more than one game. Kung Fu Panda shows up in more than one game. And that's my final answer. So five. That's what I'm going to say.
What is Bentley's name in the chat room with Penelope? 50 points.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny gag. It's something like a beefy turtle or something. I don't remember.
No, 15. Who is the name of the main boss in Sly Thieves in Time? 100 points.
His initials are IDK.
Wow, that was really well done. We said we were going to pre-screen emails, but I didn't get that far, so your surprise was not blown. That was awesome.
Oh, he was Dr. M. Rick May was Dr. M.
Oh,
of course.
Dr. M for coming for dinner.
Because I didn't know who played Dr. M.
Jay Shuzu, my Carmelita comment was to see if you're paying attention, Justin. What's your favorite app for anything? And Kevin, do you know what Banjo-Kazooie? Your voice could be great for a cheetah character called Trophy Thomas, and in Banjo, press the circle button, wrong console.
Thanks. How many more of these we got? Because we got
three.
So much to cover.
Three.
All right, go.
Well, my favorite app, I'm trying to think, is geocaching. That's my favorite app. Words cannot express how
thankful. I have a favorite app. Can I answer that question? Actually,
it's on
my do. Oh, is it? Okay.
No, I don't know.
I bought Sid Meier's, it's not my favorite app, but it's a good segue to something I wanted to cross off the list. I bought that Sid Meier's Pirates game. Mick played it. It's an attempt at a simulator RPG. It's pretty bad.
Oh. Pretty bad as in awful?
Well, I don't know. I think if I were a kid, I'd be into it, but it feels weirdly educational with really bad hokey moments in it. But it's essentially a game of like memorizing the Caribbean. They want you to memorize the geography of the Caribbean and the history of it. That's how to play the game, is if you know who's controlling what territories at what time of year or what decade, you'll succeed at the game. For me, I'm like, this is too much work.
But thank you, but no, thank you.
It was $2. It was a cute distraction while driving back home from the Bay Area, so I'd say pick it up.
This next one comes to us from Quincy. You may remember Quincy from a long time ago. He asked us to help him because his parents wouldn't let him play Call of Duty. Now, this is literally earlier this year. I want to say like back in March or
I think it was like
then.
The beginning of this whole video game format.
So it said, words cannot express how thankful I am to you guys. I could play Call of Duty now. You guys are the best. Maybe second best. Keep being funny and thank you a billion times.
What happened?
We want to know what happened and how that worked out. Did you literally just play the episode or what happened on that?
Here's what I've learned. Click. Yeah. It's just us talking.
Like that's what I want. I want him to have a big 1980s style boombox with a tape and just go, Mom, Dad, I have something to say. And just press play.
I don't know. I mean, we gave him the best advice we had to him, I thought, was patience.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Boom,
8 months later, and it looks like it paid off.
Hey, guys, this is Dalton from Insert Title here. I am having some trouble sleeping lately and need some help and wondered if you know any way to help me. I am so tired. P.S. I wrote you this while brushing my teeth. P.P.S. Jump and press the circle button. I would stop brushing your teeth.
Yeah, that'll probably do it.
Because then what will happen is that your teeth will start to rot and fall out. You will no longer be able to eat a proper amount of food, which will lead to malnutrition, which will lead to exhaustion, which will then lead to sleep.
It's dark.
And also, maybe if you stop putting Fruit Ninja in your front yard, or maybe more exercise of Fruit Ninja. I don't know. I think that's the guy who sent us the Fruit Ninja
video. I think
that
was pretty fun, though.
As a person who loves hearing work of most voice actors, I often wonder when you go out to do a main role in voice acting, do you simply take the entire role within 1 week, or do you record over a period of months? Also, do you have any advice for someone who's attempting to be a voice actor? Thanks in advance, Ryan. Rylan.
Yeah, I actually gave some advice on my Facebook page, so head over there. I don't know if it's set up as a as a friendly URL, but I'm linked on the Second Funniest Podcast
page.
Can
you just copy the link over to...
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll put it over there so you can see. But I gave some good advice there. And what was the first part of that question? It depends on the game. Most people record their lines in one session.
For a day.
Yeah, a day. Like a 4 hours,
like
2 hours
C-Man
session.
Like C-Man or the game where you're the only voice and it's a whole...
Yeah, or Sly. You know, it's the amount of content in a game. The lead characters will typically take a few more lines. But you look
maybe
at
a week.
Red Dead Redemption, if you watch the credits on that. I mean, those guys, they were probably only in the booth, most of them, except for the leads, were probably on the booth for 20, 30 minutes maybe. But like John Marston, whoever played him, was probably in the booth. Probably took weeks. If he did it solid, it was probably recorded over several months.
And then brought back for DLC all that
and
stuff.
And for pickups and cleanups.
All right, those are our emails. Let's get into it.
Oh, geez. Okay. So much to talk about.
What do you want to go with first?
Well, first of all, this past weekend, I picked up the Wii. My buddy. I didn't buy it, but I am so close to buying the Wii. Went over to the Bay Area.
What game made this happen?
Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh, boy.
So Christian and I were...
For those of you paying attention, if I'm not mistaken, that was a lot of the music you were playing last week?
Yeah, it was. Last week was playing that through. Now it's Batman. So we're flipping the content. I watched you drink water and it looked like fun. It was so funny because they put us at the Pizzarani's, put us up in their spare room, and as a joke he goes, and the Wii is here in this room if you'd like to play it. And I'm like, that's funny. So something happened throughout the day and I was alone, so I was like, well, I'm gonna fire up this Wii for the next 15 minutes before anybody shows up. And I looked around, and they had a copy of Super Mario Galaxy, and I threw that in. And I was like, this is pretty freaking great.
Awesome.
I was really impressed with it. And then Christian and I ended up playing Super Mario Brothers Ultimate or something. The idea is you play like an old school Mario Brothers game, but four people are playing simultaneously.
Oh my gosh.
So you
like
have
Little Big Planet, but Mario.
Exactly. So you have Mario, Luigi, and two different Toads. And this is an older game, I think. So the problem with both of these titles was that it doesn't seem like the people at Mario have come up with a new idea in about 20 years. Like every game has the same characters in it all the time. Yoshi shows up, Magic Koopa, all the Koopa kids. You know, you got all these different power suits. It's like they just keep recycling the same stuff over and over again, especially the side-scroller game. It was fun. It was a cute little puzzle game. But I became frustrated pretty quickly. But this Super Mario Galaxy, the downside is everything you and I have been talking about. My Nintendo Wii fans out there, Jeremy Schutz included, will probably agree. It gets tiring to point that stupid Wiimote at the screen, and especially with Super Mario Galaxy.
Because it takes a lot more fine motor skills to do that.
So there are points in the game. Most of the time, it doesn't care what your wand is doing. You don't have to aim right at the screen. Most of the time, your left hand is the movements, just like any other game, and then your right hand is firing some stuff or jumping or whatever. So it's a little weird that your hand doesn't have to be next to each other like a regular controller. So you actually find yourself kind of like standing.
So it's like nunchuck.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Where you're kind of in this weird position as if you're going, I don't know what. That's what your hands are kind of doing, because they're just sort of like your elbows are tucked in and your hands are both pointing out in two different directions. That's how I found myself playing many times. But then the way they had their living room set up is that you're on a couch. I was on a couch, and then there's an ottoman, and the TV, the little Wiimote receiver, is all in the same line. So their dog would jump up and sit on the ottoman and completely disrupt my ability to interact with the Wii. And so I'd be like, what's wrong with this thing? And the dog is just
doing... And you wouldn't even know it.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And the dog's just doing its thing, and then so I'm like having to like sit up on my tippy toes so that I can aim at the screen at the right way. And there was this one level that just took forever to do because it was so difficult at this weird angle. But I thought, you know what, if I was in my own chair and could relax and point at the screen, it probably wouldn't be too bad.
Why would you not just hit the dog with an Easton bat?
Because its mother was sitting on the couch with me.
Correcting your pronunciation.
Yeah, exactly. They were dealing with some stuff from work, and I'm sitting there playing the game, and I was like, if I kick this dog off, that's just going to set this powder keg off, because they'd be like, what is your problem? But it's fun
to
play.
I do like the idea of a rage-filled Kevin doing like a hitman a la, like, what's the string that they use? Like using the nunchuck cord. Just to choke out the dog. Listen, I'm going to
get off.
I've got 15 minutes.
That was pretty much it. But it was funny because it was fun to have Christian there. He kind of cheerleaded me on. I kept complaining about dying. He's like, you could do this. Come on. You just hit this guy three. All you have to do is hit this cloud thing and you're done. And then once he was participating, I was able to beat it. It was pretty funny.
Doing that. I love playing video games with other people in the room.
It's a lot of fun. Well, the thing that's tripping me out is that, you know, have you ever played the Mario Galaxy games at all? When I first saw
that's
the
Super Mario Brothers 3, have I touched a Mario Brothers?
Well, and I think that they did a good job of, like, the Mario games are very innovative. Their characters may not be original, but you gotta give props to their gameplay, because when Super Mario Brothers came out, it blew the world wide open of, like, this side-scrolling universe.
So that's what you mean, they haven't had a fresh idea in
Had a fresh character, but I think that they've come up with fresh gameplay, because Yoshi's Island, same thing. Super Mario World was very similar, but Yoshi's Island came out, I think, kind of rewrote a lot of the rules of the side-scroller at the very end of the side-scroller heyday generation. And then those people that played, like, Super Mario 64, I wasn't one of them, but they'll tell you that game was, like, mind-blowing. It was one of the first free roamer, but it wasn't a free, it was like a behind-the-camera kind of motion run around. And now the Super Mario Galaxy, I mean, it's crazy because you're on a globe, so the world just spins below you. You stay in the center of the screen, and you play within three dimensions. So you move around, like, and the ground moves below you, and then they'll play with that, and sometimes you'll go, the level that I was amazed at, you drill into the core of the planet, and now you're walking on the inside of a core of this world.
Wow.
And then you jump on the outside, and the space, like a space station, will flip up and down. You have to think three-dimensionally, okay, if I'm on this side here, and they go through a pipe, where am I going to end up on the other side of this planet? And the last battle I did was against this giant android that we're on a gear that's just this round thing like this, and you have to wait for it to flip around so that you can get to the star thing, and you drill through the planet as fast as you can, and if you miss, his foot will come down and you go dink and fly back the other way. And I was just having it reminded me of the Yoshi's Islands game, where my brother would actually sit and play the final bosses and actually throw himself in the fire at the last second just so he could continue to play the battle.
Really?
Again and again and again. That's how much joy it brought him, and I understood it because they were fun battles.
So you're saying it was fun to get stepped on
in this? Yeah, it was fun to lose. I was like, it was like a little wrestling match, and it's in a villain that I liked beating, and it's a villain I like playing against. The whole universe was fun. I wasn't crazy about holding this Wiimote against the screen. So because of that one game, and maybe that other Mario game, but definitely that Mario Galaxy 2, I've been looking at eBay all day.
Really?
To see how much I can pick
somebody's
up.
Somebody's got a birthday coming.
It's so far away.
All we need is a YouTube video.
Only one foot
I've
in
gotten
the
buried,
and I swim in.
Which makes it now, instead of saying I say we.
Mm. Oh.
So that's why I think that we, the Millers, need a we.
Ooh, this is good.
Well, for us.
It was so funny when I was telling Kat, I'm like, honey, I really think I'm close to considering getting this we. And it's proof that we've now been married for a year and not, you know, a few weeks or even 6 months, because she just sort of laughs. She's like, of course you want a we. Why do you not already have one? She goes, how many consoles do you own at this point?
All of
them. Why wouldn't you own a we? Well, then I learned, and you may already know this, that the Wii is backwards compatible to the GameCube, which I own a lot of those games. So all of those, I would like.
Well, now you gotta have it.
Super Mario Sunshine, all those come compatible. So what I was thinking of doing is waiting until the Wii U comes out, but the Wii U is not backwards compatible to the Super. GameCube, but it is backwards compatible to the Wii.
Oh,
so
boy.
I thought, if I get this Wii and fall in love with Nintendo,
you know,
all
you
over
need?
Again,
you need a Wii train that you can soup up. That you could then use to go backwards compatible to the GameCube. And
you're
inexplicably will be influenced by Super Nintendo.
You're doing a week's old reference.
I like it.
But
people
I figured
who get it are really invested.
If I buy this Wii and then decide to stay in the Nintendo family, it was a little like going home. And I don't know if you played Nintendo as much as I did, but I loved my Super Mario
World. It was the only thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I have not owned a Nintendo. Well, I owned the GameCube, but I haven't considered
Perfect
part
Dark
of the team.
On the GameCube. GameCube was the last Nintendo game I played, other than Wii Sports.
Yeah. And yeah, and those are all fine. And that's the thing. Like, I think the Kinect and the Move do a much better job of this interactive gameplay than the Wii does. And I'm unimpressed with the Wii U's iPad screen that it's selling with, whatever. It's all seems stupid.
It
just seems like too much. But that game, the gameplay in Super Mario Galaxy and the funness of it, if I'm still thinking about it in a week from now, I'm going to make moves towards getting it. So earlier somebody asked if I was going to get a Vita. And now the question is,
If
I get the Wii, do I really need a Vita? It's going to be dictated by the content. Like, if there's, that's what's doing it for me. I finally want a Wii because there's a game on the Wii that I want.
You make a YouTube video that says, we've got a Wii, we've got an Xbox 360, we've got a PlayStation 3.
I got an iPod.
We are living
an iPod.
La video game Vita Loca.
Oh, bam.
But we're missing the Vita.
Oh, there it is.
Please help. With arms wide open.
Because if the question was, would you get a Vita over a 3DS? Vita, hands down.
Yeah. Like,
and I will probably eventually get a Vita. The question is, will I get a Vita opening week? And I doubt. I don't.
Why do I not have that Creed song on a hot button? I should have. I got to fix that.
What
I'm
is
sorry,
wrong
dude.
With you?
I got struck by a bolt of lightning.
I was agreeing with you.
And I, in the middle of it, completely met. Like, I was like, I shouldn't have to sing that song. It should be able to be like, anytime I hit a button.
Yeah, and like, you make me look it up on YouTube.
No, don't do that. You're not doing that now, are you? Hey, I have it right here.
Here's what happens when you type in Creed Eyes. The first YouTube link, Assassin's Creed 2 Eyes.
Here's what's funny. The Creed song is not in my email. It is actually in my iTunes. I don't know why I chose email to look at
weird.
That.
The internet is so powerful these days. Now, we have... Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've missed Nintendo.
Oh, no.
And I think it's time for me to go back. I need a Wii. But Wii isn't available in my house. So I should write a letter. Why isn't there a Wii in my home? Catherine Miller. Why isn't there a PS Vita in my stocking?
In the
Sony, because you're not releasing it before December. Big mistake.
The 90s teen drama that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I want to be the buddy in the rom-com that's like, listen, man, you've been talking about this since we were kids. I know it. Everybody knows it, but you. She knows it, but you don't. That's your mind being blown.
Yeah, and then you say, run to her.
Yeah, but I gotta wait.
Okay.
You know, you've been talking and talking and talking about how I need a Wii.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, sometimes you gotta sit at this point in your life where it's no longer time to talk. It's time to take action, Kevin. When you fell in love with that girl, did you just sit around and talk about how much you love her? No. You went to an online store and you had a ring shipped to you so that you could propose your love to her.
That's true.
All right? So quit standing here and quit looking at me and quit talking about how you need a Wii, all right? Run away from your wife. Away from me. Run from everything you love. And go to the one thing that you need and the one thing that you love.
Yeah.
It's time to change the I and the me to we. Run. Go, Kevin. Run now. Just leave my house. Leave my apartment. And then this part is just a slow motion of you full sprint
to eBay.
And then you get there and they're closed and they tell you they're an online market only. So then it's you running back. You know, why did we turn you off?
Is it me? There it is. Yeah. I ran all the way to San Jose.
Yeah, you have to. It's a long song. I mean, we've got at least another minute of montage to film.
Oh, gosh.
It's just you running with your shirt billowing. Like, you have to have a jacket that billows in the background. Yeah. Like, you're like...
Sweat.
Yeah.
Puffy red peach cheeks. Yeah.
Running by Starbucks. Because that's what I see. I see the GameStop that's in the Empire Center near my house. You're running down that aisle way.
I looked. They've got refurbished
Wii's. Sushi a Go-Go or whatever the hell they're called.
That hook. They've got refurbished Wii's at GameStop for like $99. So in on eBay.
Why are you still talking? I said go.
Sorry.
Go to her. Go. Find the you and Wii.
All right. Finish the show on your own. Find the you and Wii.
Okay. Bye. Would have been better if that was that. Hold me down. That would have been.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Yeah. How do you still have another minute of the song?
Yeah. What do you listen?
What's that just needs to be a drop. Just that part.
Hold me now.
This
Whoa.
Go now!
Remember that time when we said we have so much to cover?
We have so much to cover. Because there's been so many things that have happened in the world of MMORPGs, least of which is your involvement. You're breaking down and finally buying DC Universe Online.
Oh, my gosh.
But before we get to that,
oh no,
let's talk about the other news in MMORPGs. Take a break and call our drinking buddy, Jordan Rosa.
All right, let's do it.
I want to tell you about the news on other MMORPGs.
But I thought you said before we do
no,
that.
No, we'll do that. I'll talk about that. Then we hit pause.
Oh, got it.
And then we'll call Jordan. You'll tell them all about DC Universe Online.
Let's do it.
So real quick, though, just it's exciting to see that so many games are going to play for free. And after, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I've been complaining for the longest time that Star Trek Online needs to go free to play. And they finally announced that somewhere in season 5, they're going to go play for
seasons
free.
On Star Trek?
Yeah, the way it works is that their DLC is in seasons, so they'll come out with chunks of like episode, like story arcs that kind of connect to each other. Because once you hit Admiral, you're kind of peaked in your status. You have the best ship, you have the best crew that you can possibly acquire. And so then it's like, what do you do? So they have seasons where they have a specific storyline that happens. So in season 2, like something happened with the species 8472, and you do this whole storyline. And then in season 3, that content stops being available, and new content is available in season 3. And then in season 3 goes away, a new season 4. Somewhere in season 3, DLC or CGU. No, GCU started being available. So now,
what's GCU?
UGC, user generated content. Stupid acronyms. Why do we use so many acronyms in that? We're like Disney in the 90s. So many acronyms.
Or the military in the now. Or forever.
Forever.
The military
and ever.
Invented acronyms.
Ever and ever. Yeah. In fact, the military is an acronym for something.
Massive, American, lethal,
right.
Intelligent, team against real yenemies.
Yenemies. They're Russian.
Yeah.
Those stupid yenemies. So, they're thinking about getting together this free-to-play. They're both owned by Cryptic. Them and Champions Online are both owned by Cryptic, which just got bought out recently by another company.
I thought Champions Online was the same people that did your Guild Wars.
No.
What am I thinking of?
No, and did I say Champions Online? Yeah, they are. They also, well, they're by ArianeNet. I don't think you're right.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong with my head?
Well, because when I went to go, I couldn't find Guild Wars at Comic-Con, and it's because their booth was like, Champions Online!
Oh, yeah.
That was the
might
first.
Might be the same publisher, but different developers. That must be it. ArianeNet. Oh, yeah, you're right. They're both by the same publisher, but ArenaNet, rather, is the folks that develop Guild Wars. So this is super exciting. And,
Kevin, I'm sorry for my mistake. I'm kidding. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for bits.
There's a lot coming out, and I think
10 minutes left.
What is so exciting about the MMORPG is that finally people are starting to understand that we want to play for free, and that this the leasing of a game does not work. This is not a good model. And DC Universe Online is listening to that.
Yeah.
How bummed are you? Because you just bought this game.
No, I don't care.
Really?
I honestly don't care.
It's amazing.
Because to me, like, all I wanted was, I was playing this game, and I'm like, you know, I'm really starting to like this game.
How did this happen? How did you go from not being a grindosaurus
to
being into it?
I don't, like, I had this overwhelming urge. Like, I'm going to tell you something. I was sitting in my apartment thinking about how much my son loves superheroes and how I'm surrounded by superheroes and comic books and finding this newfound love for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somewhere in there, I just kept having this feeling like I needed to go back. I wanted to play this game. The idea of being just completely immersed in a superhero world and becoming a superhero that I could build on my own was just incredible to me. And I kept going back and forth and back and forth. And for whatever reason, this day, my wife chose to piss me off.
No.
And so I said, you know what, woman? I need you to go get me a copy of DC Universe Online.
You sent her out to buy it.
She was out running errands all day, and I was home alone with the kids. And I'm like,
so you didn't even enjoy going to the store.
Oh, no. Nice. I don't need a disc. Screw you, Ben. So I said, go get the game, and she brought it back, and then it couldn't work out when she first brought it back. Like, there was other stuff I had to do and everything, and then finally, it worked out to where I could play the game.
Oh, nice.
I popped open the container. I put the disc into the PS3. I turn it on. It says it does all this stuff, and then
it does all this stuff.
It does. It does loads. There's cool pictures of like the guys from
right,
the trio.
Right. And it had download.
I don't know. Maybe it's the Marx Brothers. Somebody with a, there was a lot of colors and tight clothes. and then all of a sudden it says enter your access code now, and I open it up and it says it's on my instruction manual. I enter the access code, and then all of a sudden, there it says you need to grow your beard longer if you want to. All of a sudden it says your access code is no longer in service or it's unavailable.
You're a little early.
Hold me now. So I said,
you got no DLC for comfort in your thinking. Maybe someone stole my
XML. That's all I had left. So I said, I called my wife. I called GameStop, and I said, "Do you have any idea why this could happen?" And then they said, "This manager was like so cool. It was great because he had a nerdy voice. He was like, I'm not sure." he goes, "Here's my theory. My theory is that your wife purchased the last copy that we had in stock, and that was a display box, because every time we get a shipment, we open the first one and we put it out on display." And then we keep the disc in the back. And then he goes, and I think somebody forgot to remove all the stuff inside with the access code. Yeah. Somebody saw it on our shelf, took the access code, made it their own. So all you got to do is bring it back to us, and we'll swap it out for free.
It was him. He did it.
So then
I have a theory.
Well, I thought he goes, then we take it home and we play the game.
Right.
Like, that's what I thought. I was like, great. Yes, please great. Do. You deserve it. But then he explained to us. I went, and then I had to go back to the store. I got the game. I come back. I plug it in. I'm sitting there. I'm ready. My son and I are going to play this game. And then it tells me, you need an update. And I'm sitting there, man, and I'm thinking, this update, how long could it take? It's got to be, what, 7 minutes? And that's what the little elapsed time, the estimated time told me, 7 minutes. But what I didn't know, Kevin, was that number was counting up. I was like, this is supposed to be counting down? Who counts up in a download? No one does.
And then you got over it and you got to play. We got to call Jordan.
No, honestly, like, I just want to tell everybody in case they get this game, it was not, I'm not kidding, like 6 hours of time.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, that's what
I'm
think.
Like, what's this disc hold? Just access to the website?
Pretty much. Because they came up with a bunch of updates since you bought it, and they don't remaster the game. They deal with this all the time. Well, my hope is that when it goes free to play, that they will remaster it so that you don't have to download the client to then download the 6 hours of updates. My goodness, that would suck.
My poor son was like, let's do it. I'm going to make a superhero. I want to make a Joker. I want to make a Batman. I was so excited. And then it literally, I looked at it. It was like midnight. I stepped till midnight. I was like, dude, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But then at 12:30, it was done.
And he was asleep.
And then I played the game.
It took me 30 hours to download WoW. The Warcraft, the game client.
I could not. Wow, that's why they call it WoW.
Exactly, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be. You won't know it, but we'll be right back.
All right, and we're back. Live. We have Jordan Rosa. For those of you listening to the show for a long time, are very familiar with our good old drinking buddy J Dobbs.
Drinking buddy J Dobbs. Where have you been in the past year and a half since we've had you on the show?
Well, I work way too damn much, and I've been doing some writing, my various diversified projects, Redneck Name Check. Check that out there on the Tumblr. Redneck Name Check. Also, Eyewitness to Awesome, both on the Tumblr. These are little side projects.
Whatever happened to your $20 robot or website that you had going on?
Nobody would make a $20 robot. The bottom fell. After, after the dot-com bubble burst, the bottom fell out of $20 robots.
$20 robot was a competition where people could build a robot for $20. Jordan would judge it and award them, what, $20? Wasn't that it?
No, I'd give them an attention on the internet.
That's
worth at least $20.
That's a good use.
We
have Jordan because he is the expert in our universe, of the DC universe. Justin's been playing the DC universe online. So, Justin, what I'd like you to do, Jordan, do you know anything about DCU?
Very little about the game.
So, Justin, first pitch the game to Jordan, and I want your reaction to whether or not this fits within the DC universe.
So I'll give you the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the trailer. The idea is that there's this massive war in the future between the major villains and, of course, the heroes, and Lex Luthor wins and kills Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. Everybody's gone. And then all of a sudden, Brainiac shows up and takes over planet Earth. So Lex Luthor hides in one of the Brainiac's like ships or consorts, I think is what he calls them, and then finds a way to travel back in time to when the battle first started, and then says the Earth is doomed and unless we can help. And he does this thing where he puts his hand up. He's on like the he's in the watchtower up in outer space, and he puts his hand up, and then you see this explosion, and Batman's like, "What have you done?" And then he goes, he used everybody, he used Brainiac's nanomachines to bring back like DNA samples from all of the heroes and villains, and then gives everybody on the planet superpowers so that then the whole planet can have superpowers to battle Brainiac. So the idea of the game then from there is you could decide whether you want to be a hero or a villain, and you decide your look and your like your personality and your powers and all that stuff. Your powers are meta. Which and then there's or there's gadgets, which is like Batman, and then there's also
light.
Like magic, and then you from the Green Lantern now you can have the power of light, and then if you're a villain you choose one of these mentors. You can either have Lex Luthor as a mentor, which dictates what kind of missions you have starting off, or you can have the Joker or Circe, I think it is. She's the bad chick from Wonder Woman, right?
She's one of the Wonder Woman villains, She's an evil witch.
And so, and if you're a good guy, your mentor could be Superman, Batman, or Wonder Woman. And so then you make all the parts of your character, and then you're dropped off, and you've broken out almost like, I'm trying to think of like, what's almost like Matrix. You bust out of your little bubble that Brainiac has you in, and you use your superpowers, and the chick from Watchtower helps you escape Brainiac's ship, and then you start teaming up with all the guys, and you rise through the ranks. And I think eventually you actually get to be a part of the Justice League.
Like, or the Super Villain League.
Yeah, or the Super Villain League. I haven't done anything.
The Legion of Doom.
Yes, of course.
The Legion of Doom.
Yes.
So my first question when I saw this was, is this congruent with the universe of DC? Is it possible to harvest Superman's DNA or the power of light and have it essentially create mutants on Earth? Does that fit within the reality?
Well, the power of light, I mean, I would assume in that situation, I mean, basically anybody can get the light powers because they just need the ring and
they don't have the ring.
Corresponding. You don't have a ring. They're just, well,
that's the thing. They just suddenly
see, Alan,
they.
Alan Scott Green Lantern, as well as his kids, Obsidian and Jade, both have the power of the Star Heart imbued in them. They don't need rings to control it. So
you've just earned your reason why. You've just proven why we needed you on the show.
Yeah, because so you know, like when you choose the power of light, like a lay person such as myself, who only reads comics as bedtime stories to my son, so my realm is very limited. It's like, oh, who wouldn't want to be the Green Lantern? Like, that's favorite superhero.
Right.
If I would have known about him when I was 6 years old, I think I would have been in love with him from the get-go.
Right.
And so you fly around, and there is, like, this little green light that flows from what seems to be a single finger on your right hand as you fly around. So, like, everybody gets rings.
Well, maybe the ring's not there. Now, is there only green light?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can also choose Sinestro, which I think is yellow. I don't know.
You can
choose Sinestro as your, like, they have templates for your hero.
Oh, yeah.
And the last two are Green Lantern and Sinestro. Mm. And I think but you could be Sinestro and still have, like, a hero morality.
Oh, got it.
It's just how you build your character.
Okay. I'm much more fascinated with that Lex Luthor needed DNA to give you the power of gadgets.
Good question.
It seems like anybody could use gadgets, right? Is Superman just every now and again he just sees like a batarang lying there? He's like, man, I wish I had that skill. I'll have to leave it there.
Yeah, it seems like all you need is a trust fund in order to be good at gadgets.
Yeah, and that's maybe what, martial arts. So what have you done the gadgets hero power? Like, is there, have you?
No, you did.
I did?
Yeah, I think you did.
No, I did like archery and fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did do it with.
Kevin did the gadget power, and it was just like a helicopter came out of his hat, and he hung around it with his niece Penny.
But the whole time, there was this girl behind me with an iPad. I didn't understand what was going on. Meanwhile, I was solving crime.
No, what it was is Jacob's character has the power of gadgets because he wanted a Batman-like character.
I see.
And I've seen
his Batman looks like beefed out Batman. Yeah. Your son's Batman being 3 years old, it took it look
it's like pro wrestler Batman.
Yeah, like The Rock as Batman.
No, it's borderline Macho Libre. Like.
Yeah.
But anyway, he.
It's like if the Hulk put on the Batman costume.
He says, like, I've seen other gadget guys come around and they have like robots. That's their powers. They have a robot drone that follows them and shoots at people. Yeah. Like, that's what becomes
it's,
the
it's
gadget.
It's pets. Usually the gadget guy has pets.
Yeah. So that's what it is. Only his pets aren't animals.
Right. So
Superman had Superman robots.
Oh, good. And Bizarro. Is Bizarro?
Yes. Because I don't know, but people are constantly in the...
Bizarro... Well, so it's interesting you bring it up because Bizarro was a failed clone of Superman.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And his Kryptonian DNA was too unstable to clone him. But the reason that you could clone... The reason Superboy works as a clone of Superman is they cut the DNA... with Lex Luthor. So he's like got this like what would you say identity crisis issue where he's like I'm half the greatest hero and half the greatest villain. It's just a continuous angst over nature versus nurture type of plot with
the go ahead Jordan.
What's the gameplay like?
Yeah, what are the missions? What are the how DC?
I can't answer it. I'm asking you.
No, I know.
He's talking to me. Tell us, Jordan, about this game you've never played.
Jordan, you tell us about the gameplay to every game.
Well, like when you start off, like this is the easiest mission to break down. When you start off, Superman contacts you and says, General Grodd is giving us a bunch of problems. Yeah. Go to the beach, and he's got a bunch of gorillas that are attacking patrons of the beach. And so you go there, and then like as you, it gets like a massive an MMORPG game where what Kevin explained to me, where it's like collect 20 of these siphons of Grodd's hypnotic juice or something or theory or formula or whatever from these guys. And so you beat up one of the guys, and a question mark thing is one of those objectives, and you absorb that. And then there is like defeat one of his generals, and they're wearing like a green sash, you know, and they're a little bit further advanced with their gorilla powers. And you go through.
Well, they're gorillas that have learned how to use a sewing machine. So yeah,
exactly. And then he's constantly trying to. He has all these de-evolving machines that you have to break down, and he's trying to turn the citizens into gorillas.
Oh, I see.
And so then you do that, like you do four different levels of fighting different aspects of what he's trying to do until you show up at his lab, get to him, and then usually there's some kind of superhero. In this case, it's the Flash, who's been trapped by him. You free the Flash, and then the Flash and you fight to defeat Gorilla Grodd. I think I called him General Grodd, which is wrong.
That's is that why you were laughing?
You did.
That's why you were laughing.
I was letting that go.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. But
it's General Zod, but Gorilla Grodd.
There is a funny moment when you first sign in and you free the Flash and he super runs up to him and he goes, "Looks like you've been busy, Grodd." And then he goes, "Oh, I'm gonna defeat you guys." And then he has this weird pause. And then he just goes, oh, and then it's time to fight, right? And he's got these people that are trapped in his lab, and they turn into gorillas. And he goes, look out, Grodd's turning those de-evolving those people into gorillas or whatever. And he goes, de-evolving, more like super-evolving.
evolution is just like a Ouroboros that just eats its tail. You eventually go back to protozoa and around the block.
That's how it works.
Yeah, so and then you fight him, and then you don't really defeat any of the guys. They're never dead. They're always like, okay, now we're going to take him. Don't worry, like Robin will tell you, don't worry, I'm going to take Giganta back or whatever. Not Giganta, he's not the one you fight with him. I think it was actually Harlequin you fight with Robin, and he's like, don't worry, I'll take care of Harlequin. We'll take her back to jail and all that stuff. So that's like one of the missions.
Is Harley Quinn in her new Suicide Squad / Suicide Girls horror gear?
No, she's more.
You should really look that up.
More like the cartoon.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, she's more like the cartoon, and I think it's the same girl that voices the cartoon as well, because it sounds exactly like that jersey.
Arlene Sorkin?
Probably. Kevin's looking it up as we speak.
That's impressive. What don't you know, Drinking Buddy?
Well, I would like to start a search engine.
Arlene Sorkin. Here's the thing. Arlene Sorkin was a Father Dowling sidekick on Father Dowling Mysteries. And then later she was a host, I believe, with Uncle Joey on America's Funniest People.
Oh, okay.
And I always had a crush on her because she had that voice. And then she was Harley Quinn. And it was like, oh, my good Lord.
Yeah, you're spelling Harley Quinn. We need Harley Quinn.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the difference?
I want to create
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, like the motorcycle.
Her name is Harley. Her real name is Harlene Quinzel.
Oh, okay.
So it makes perfect sense to just narrow that down.
So that it's just easy. If she happened to be a doctor who was in charge of helping the psychological health of the Joker in Arkham Asylum, and it just happened to be if you like dropped some syllables off her name, it became Harley Quinn.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Weird.
They're meant for each other. But so to answer more about the gameplay, there's like a lot of like, it's just two buttons to fight, but then there's combinations of buttons that you could do to use your power. So I chose, because I'm a big Green Lantern fan now, I chose the Green Lantern Power of Light, so I can do a construct of like three rifles that rat up like machine guns that shoot at a guy, or I could bring in an Apache helicopter that just shoots missiles and gunfire at these guys, and then there's another one that lays down like a green target, and a jet flies in and drops bombs on them. And stuff like that.
I like that all of... Are you choosing your powers? Because I like that all of your Green Lantern powers are weapons. Like,
yeah.
You could just get an army to do that. Like,
exactly.
You need a giant boxing glove or something.
Yeah, well, that's what I want. Like, I also wanted that aspect of it. But I think in the beginning, like, it's more basic stuff. But those are the only examples that I've seen. Because I'm only at level 16, and I don't know how high it goes, but they have what they call
150
iconic powers. And I think once you get into iconic powers, then you get to see more cool, like Green Lantern.
That's giant. Yeah.
And what was your?
There is a big one where there's one that I just got too, where you have an essentially like those old school cartoon weights. You know what I mean? That they used to be tied to rope to the bar instead of it actually being a round thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of the shape that they're almost like a pyramid with the top cut off.
Yeah. It's when they drop, you know, 2,000 tons on a cartoon character.
Yeah, you have that in a green light.
It's sort of like a kettlebell.
Yes, and you shot put it. Like, you hold it, and it's like three times the size of you, and you just spin on your heels and pummel the people that are around you.
What's your character's name?
My character's name, what's the new guy? Green Justin. All one word.
I made a character called Trash Eater. He's pretty great.
There we go. I like that. Well, that's not to be confused with Matter Eater Lad from the Legion of Superheroes.
Of course not.
Kevin did not. He made that clear.
That was his power. He could eat anything.
It's a good power. It's like a goat.
Like, remember, like he would have been useful in like the Great Muppet Caper when they had the animal like eat through the bars.
Yeah.
in our waning seconds here, as always, I want to know, have you read Superman Red Son?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you have read it. Oh, good. What'd you think?
Yes. It's great. It's great. I'm a big fan of a lot of those Elseworlds stories. And Red Son's definitely one of the best ones. I'm always fascinated by there was an early chunk before they were called Elseworlds. Mm. And I always loved there was one that was what if Bruce Wayne, instead of Hal Jordan, had gotten Abin Sur's ring, which is a pretty great one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then if I remember right, the other one was what if the Waynes, instead of having Bruce Wayne, found baby Kal-El, and baby Kal-El was raised by the Waynes, and then, of course, they still get murdered when he's like 10. Oh,
so you have Batman with Superman's powers.
Exactly. More importantly, your Superman lore, Superman with Batman's, like, being raised as Batman.
Yeah,
like being Tarly.
Because what makes Superman, what makes Superman,
whichever direction you want to go,
is that he was raised by the Kent.
Because in the Red Sun. It's what if Superman as a baby had landed in Russia and was raised to be the Russian hero instead of standing for
communist Russia.
Truth, justice, and the American way of fighting for the everyman.
What is the name of this series where Bruce Wayne gets Abin Sur's ring?
I want to say it was called Emerald Knight.
Oh, I have that on my phone app.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
And what's that other one?
The other one was, I feel like it was, that one I'm blanking on, I feel like it was like a reference to Speeding Bullets.
Hmm.
But I could be wrong about that. That one I'm fuzzier on my memory, but Emerald Knight, I'm almost positive that's the
Gotham Coors Light.
So, Jordan, are you going to pick up, are you going to pay? Now, the best news of all, you haven't probably heard this yet, is that DC Universe is now going to be free to play and free to download. It's a completely free game for your PS3.
I have an Xbox 360, so that does me a little bit.
So, if you had a PS3, would you play this game?
I would totally be downloading and checking it out. My biggest question and my the sticking point on most of those MMORPG.
Oh, so close. You were so close.
When Nerd Worlds collide.
Well, actually, it's MMORPG or MROP.
Yeah. Don't say that. I don't like that one. MROP?
MROP.
No, just
it's just easier.
I don't like that. It makes me feel gross in my belly.
That's on the jack.
My big problem when I've tried to play a lot of games like that, like I tried to play, what was it, City of Heroes?
Yeah, that's right. An older one, yeah, or Champions.
The older one.
Yeah.
The combat mechanics,
right?
Not that I'm a super casual gamer because I'm a giant nerd and I play a lot of games, but I do love my Halo.
Yeah, will you get the 10-year anniversary when it comes out? You know they're doing
probably not.
Why
I
not?
Heard. Yeah, I
how
heard.
Can you not?
Well, I have all the games.
Yeah, but they're going to be upgraded, and we can play. All right, I won't convince you on that.
Oh, I can play like old school Halo, like on my 360 now.
Exactly.
Then maybe. My thing is, when it comes to combat in a game, I need it to be more visceral. I want to be, especially if I'm going to be a superhero. I want to be able to be a little stupid. I don't like Like, I couldn't get that into Gears of War, because Gears of War was sort of like being in a real firefight.
Yeah.
I don't want to play a game like I'm in a real firefight, because what do you do in a real firefight? You hide for a long time, and then you're like, I think he's reloading. Bang, bang. Oh, God, they're shooting at me again. And you hide some more. I want to be, you know, John Woo. I want to be, El Mariachi. I want to be just running at guys, dodging, two-gunning it, bashing dudes in the face. And especially if I'm a superhero, I really need that feeling of just, like, I can be a little reckless and I don't get screwed by it. And also, it's not just like that clicky, like, I'm just stacking up my spells.
Right.
Of where I'm like, all right, fireball, fireball, fireball 2 is still charging. All right, well, when you're done with that, pull down your pants and throw your undies at him and then, give him flowers or something. I play weird games, okay?
Yeah, what MMORPG are you playing? Is that Hello Kitty Island?
I think you would like DC Universe Online because, well, maybe. It's a lot of pressing of the square button. There's a lot of, like, punch, 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 punch.
I don't know how to do that.
But you don't really have to figure out. Oh, we lost him. Oh, well, anyway, he doesn't have to really figure out a bunch of stuff and do all of that.
That's okay. So. We didn't need to talk to him anymore.
What? I like him.
I just realized on your recorder you have a square button and a circle button and a triangle button. Look at
we
all do. Those.
We jump and then we press the record button of circle.
Where's the X button on that? There, you don't have one.
I took it off.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not It's copyrighted.
Yeah. We do our own jumping.
Well, thanks, Jordan Rosa, for listening, or calling in, rather, and participating in tonight's episode.
Yeah, so my point that I wanted to say was that I started off, like, within the first probably 20 minutes of playing the game, I hated it. Like, I was like, but I also understood why, like, what your wife said about why she liked Guild Wars and that it's just a checklist or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got it, and I was like, I think that because her and I have that similar thing, that I was like, oh, I just, if I do this next, then I'll be done. Oh, no, you're not done. You know what I mean?
You maybe shouldn't play the Sid Meier game because it's so bad, but there is just a little bit of that like checklist thing where I'm like, I have to revenge my family's death.
Yeah.
I must go find all the pieces of this treasure map to find the location of my sister.
Yeah. See, and for me, though, what also is really getting me into it is that I just like the idea of watching other people fly by me. I like the idea of being in the middle of my mission and somebody shows up and they're on the same. Like, the highlight of the game for me was when four other people that were playing the game were doing the same mission story that I was. And so they created a group.
Yeah.
And that we all were essentially working together. Like, and there was a part where I had to feed my son, so I just flew out of the way, but they were still getting me stuff. I wasn't getting all the XP stuff and everything that I would if I was actually fighting the enemies.
Did you apologize when you came back?
No, because I couldn't figure out how to text him. Like, but it was only like 15 minutes, if that. Yeah. But I helped later on. Like, I really helped them beat the boss because I had saved up all of my superpowers with the Apache helicopter. Like, I hit whatever the hive, I think is who we fought there. I just hit the hive with like three Apache helicopters, and she was toast while they were fighting.
All this talk makes me want to go home and play Guild Wars.
Really?
That's all I'm thinking. Yeah, because that's what when like a new expansion, whatever comes out, everybody's eager to like, okay, let's do this. And it's so exciting to get that roaming group of other people you don't know in this adventure together. And you're like, we don't know what we're about to go face, especially when it's brand new. Because now, where you are at the game now, it's been out for a year. There are people that know the game inside and out. They'll tell you how you're doing it wrong. They'll be real jerks about it. But when a game is brand new and you're like, oh, yeah, let's go on. It's how the game is supposed to be of like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the next level? Anything.
Speaking of that, another fun part is that like you have to check whoever sends you on the mission, be it Zatanna or the Flash or whatever, or Batgirl. After your mission's over, you're supposed to go check in with them. And it's great because the Flash will be punching like buttons on a screen, and you could tell that they don't have the time to spend this much attention to details, that when you talk to him, he turns around, but he's still doing the animation of pushing the buttons on the keyboard. And then in the background, you could see some dude who made a character that's like 3 feet tall, jumping around like fighting Yoda, destroying the computer he was working on and everything in the room, but he's still talking to you. Like, and I just like the idea of, you know what? I kind of feel like this is what it would be like if you gave everybody in the world superpowers.
Right.
Like, realistically, the Flash wouldn't be able to get anything done because some jackass would be jumping around destroying the computer like, look what I did. I just thought that, and it happened. And he'd be like, with great power comes great responsibility, right, guys? I know that's a different, like, not even universe, okay? But you just listen.
So say we all.
Skyrex 427, just back off, okay? Back off. Go shoot some bottles off a rooftop.
Well, on the Facebook page, I just did ask what everybody's favorite MMORPG, and the most popular answer was, one of the most popular answers was DC Universe when it becomes free.
Yeah, well, so I was
playing
the game.
The biggest answer was Star Wars The Old Republic.
And I hit this point in the game where I was like, I was getting good at it, and I'd figured out how to play these games. Yep. And I was like, oh, now I get the appeal of this. And I go, and because of the world, I don't really think I could get as into Guild Wars because I'm not into that medieval thing. You know what I mean?
Like, me either, but I care about my character.
So, but I like this superhero world, and I like it's funny how you get into that, but I really like the costume that my guy has.
It is fun.
And I'm like, oh, I've got these fourth world gloves and boots that match, and it looks like a real superhero. I made my guy made a rock, and he just breathes heavy constantly. Like, And I'm just so happy with
it. You're like your son dressing up as Captain America.
Exactly, like only digitally. Like I have an avatar. And
dressed like a rock guy while you're playing it.
Oh, yeah, no, I do. I put makeup on.
Yeah, and aesthetic, hour and a half in the chair.
But anyway, I like the idea. As I was getting better, I was like, oh, I think I could play this for a long, long time. Yeah. And because of the way the game is sold, like we were going to talk about this a little bit, but we might have to do it next week, is that this idea of DLC and like DC Universe Online kind of nailed the, hey, GameStop, you're not going to make money off of used game sales on this.
Yeah.
Because you use it once and it's toast.
Right.
The only way you could get it again is if somebody has a damaged disc.
And now
that's the only way you could buy it on eBay. And I was so happy because there was a disc on sale for $21 or something like that. I'm like, oh, I'll buy it for $40. And then I lost the bid in the last waning seconds. And I would have been so pissed if I paid $40 for that game and it arrived and I couldn't use the activation code.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I remember saying it's an unused activation code as well.
But now the joke's on GameStop entirely because the game is free to download and it's free to update and play online. So GameStop will never see DC Universe in their stores.
I think they kind of knew this was coming because there wasn't that many. They didn't have any left, really. I don't think they were selling any. And but anyway, so there was this point in the game where I'm like, oh, but then if I wanted to keep playing this, like I was like, I'll just keep this. I'll do like Kevin does. Yeah. I'll keep it in the background. And if I ever go, oh, let's do that a little bit, I'll pull it out.
$15.
But I'm like, oh, no, I got to pay $15 every month. And I'll go, that could be kind of a hassle because I have to remember to turn it off. And you know what I mean?
It's not that hard.
So I'm like, well, I'll just keep playing it until I get bored with it or tired of it. And it's probably going to be until Arkham City comes out or Uncharted 3 that's really going to pull me away. I just found out my Formula
Gears 1. Gears of War comes out
20,
this week.
I'm not going to get it.
Really?
No. Oh, okay. I want to because I like all that character stuff and everything. But I really like...
It's fine.
I think if it wasn't for DC Universe and my love for PS3 right now, then I probably would get it.
And Split Second.
Yeah. No. No. Ow. But I saw a commercial for it for football today while I was watching it. And they were like, oh, man, you get your copy at midnight, blah, 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 on the 20th. I'm like, I will not be doing that.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome to the real world. You're officially a true gamer now.
Really? Because I won't get it?
Yeah.
No. I felt more like a real gamer before I had kids because I would buy anything. And I would crank it out in 4 days and return it. Like, oh, that's when I was in my prime.
You're a beyond gamer at that point because you're actually like, you're floating. You're flying by not actually keeping the game.
Like a Buddha of gaming?
Yeah, somehow you're above the system. You're the reason why the system doesn't work. You're able to play a game. You're just constantly recycling the same game. I don't know.
That's what I like. I love that time when I could buy like a game used and finish it in 4 or 5 days and then return it and then get another one. Oh, I never did it like, I don't think I did like back to back because I never had the time, but I had those downtimes where I'd have a week off before I had kids and I'd just go nuts on a game and just immerse myself and never look at my wife.
Yeah.
Just say, feed me, woman. I've got terrorists to kill. All right. I'm trying to.
And pterodactyls and terrorists. Gaming.
I'm using espionage tactical stealth or whatever they use for Metal Gear Solid. I haven't even touched that since DC Universe. And I just realized that I still have to finish that game. And I don't care.
You haven't done your Animal Crossing in weeks. We have got to go. The show is so far over.
There we go. So that was fun. Hope you had a good time. Make sure you send Jordan a text and say we didn't hang up on him and that we love him. And thanks to Jordan for all of his mad skills on the DC Universe. I don't know if you can find me if you do get DC Universe when it goes free, but my character is Green Justin, all one word. If you guys want to make a group and do some missions together, I'm totally down with that. That would be fun for
Karina North on Guild Wars.
Yeah, and if you want to... Kevin was talking about how into Red Dead Redemption as a massive multiplayer online game. So maybe you've convinced us, listeners. Maybe we're going to play online. I don't know.
Let's get the TV in here. We'll do it every week.
Send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast.com. Give us a call, 408-228-4911. Don't forget to go to secondfunniespodcast.com. While GameStop is still alive and selling disc version of video games, while things aren't just downloadable, you could buy everything you need from them. Just click through. And if you click through, bookmark that page. Then you don't have to go to our website to do it. You just constantly are throwing money
Come
at
on,
us.
Come on, use the technology. And bookmarks.
I wish Amazon didn't leave because I think that's the way to get it. But,
but whatever.
Way to go, Justin. Way to support your sponsor.
GameStop, all the way.
Yeah.
Until you're gone.
Nothing stops at GameStop except for you. All right, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, it's Justin Warcham saying, okay, bye.
Hey, fellas. Your old drinking buddy J Dubs here. I apologize. My phone battery died. Been at work all day. I'm running it down. Want to share with you a little something as a way of making it up to you. It's a time tale you can share with the little ones. Good night, moonshine. Good night, red wine. Good night, beer from the river. Good night, hard and blackened liver. Good night, tequila shots. Good night, whiskey on the rocks. Good night, Bellinis. Good night, martinis. Good night, broken leg in a cast. Good night, second funniest podcast.